Okay, we're going to be studying from 1 Samuel 16 tonight. I sure hope this comes out like it went in. I got such a blessing in studying this, but the wind blows where it listeth. Last Wednesday I felt so very dead and dry and unfruitful, but His Word will not return void. If we had truly spiritual eyes to see the beauties, the wonders, and the mysteries of this book, we would be like old Elisha's servant. Remember when Elisha prayed that the Lord would open that young man's eyes, and he saw, and when he did, he saw the hosts of heaven. They that be for us are more than they that be with it or against it. We'd see the heavenly wonders, a host of heavenly wonders. If we had eyes to see, if we had the eyes to see in this book, we'd see some glorious things. That's what we're praying for tonight. I hope you'll silently and within yourself be praying about this, that the Lord will open this up to you. There is a dim glimpse of wondrous things concerning Christ to be had here in 1 Samuel 16. Let me remind you, last week we began a study of the Son of David, or how that Christ is pictured in the life of David, the king. And in the history of redemption, let me just review a little bit. In the history of redemption, or God's purpose of salvation, God chose a particular people. God is an electing God. He chooses particular people in His election of grace, His covenant mercy. He always had, and He always will. A particular people, particular men and women. He chose, you remember, Abraham, and Abraham's seed. He chose Isaac. He chose a particular boy out of Isaac's loins, Jacob, and Jacob was called Israel. And on down through the ages, God chose or revealed that He had a particular people, a chosen people. And later on, God announced through Jacob, He announced the very tribe of Jacob's people, that is Judah, from which the Messiah would come. Now, hold there in 1 Samuel. And let's look at a genealogy over in Genesis chapter 49. Now, Paul warned that we shouldn't be taken up with endless genealogies. I got to thinking about that today. I thought, you know, that's what people, this question of where Cain got his wife, that's an endless genealogy. That's one you'll never figure out. But there are genealogies that are rich and instruction, and here's one that we must know. We've got to know a little bit about this genealogy here in order to know who the Christ is. He's got to be a particular Christ according to the Scriptures. He's got to be the Christ of Scripture. He's got to come from the right place. He's got to do the right things according to the Scripture. And Genesis 49 tells us where He came from specifically. He came from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and from Jacob's loins He came from one of those 12 boys. One tribe. Now look at it. Here's where Israel is blessing the 12 tribes, His sons. Verse 8. And He gets to Judah. This is a glorious passage of Scripture. Let's look at it. Judah.
Thou art He.
You remember three words back there in 1 Samuel 16?
Anointing. This is He.
This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Paul talked about that in Hebrew. Judah, you're He. Whom thy brethren... You know what the word Judah means? The name? Praise. Praise. Judah, thou art He whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. That's Christ, isn't it? Who defeated all His foes. Thy father's children The people of God, the children of God shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. As a young man, Christ was strong and powerful, even God in his youth. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Or that is, from his conquest, he's gone up into the high mountain. And he stooped down, or he sat down. He couched as a lion. You know, what is a lion other than but a king, right? The lion is the king of the jungle. And Christ is the king who sat down on his throne as an old lion, the eternal king. Who shall rouse him up? Once he sat down, who's going to unseat him? Look at verse 10. And the scepter, that regal and royal rod of his kingship, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the King of Peace, until peace comes, Shiloh. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Look at this. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. Remember when Christ the King came riding into Israel? Zechariah 9:9. He washed his garments in wine, or rather he washed our garments in the blood of the Lamb, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine. Or that is that picture in Revelation 1 is his eyes as a flame of fire. Remember that? His teeth white with milk. Well, that's a picture of Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Look over at Matthew chapter 1 with me now. So the Christ, that clearly speaks of the Son of David, the Christ coming from the loins of Judah, the tribe of Judah. Now look over here in Matthew 1, and this tells us for certain that Christ is the one from Judah. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The Son of David. The Son of Abraham. Now Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat Phares and Zarah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom. And Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. So he's truly the Son of David. And David was the king, but Christ, the Son of David, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now look back at 1 Samuel with me. We're going to look verse by verse at 1 Samuel 16. You say we did that last week. I know, we're going to do it again. Fell on my face last week. We're going to try her again. 1 Samuel 16, I looked at it a little more carefully this time. And there's a real story here in every single verse, every single line. This is the gospel in no uncertain terms. If you pray for the Lord's help here, you're going to get a blessing out of this, as I did. Now, there are five principal characters here in this story, and you need to know who they represent. First of all, there's Samuel. Now, Samuel represents the servant of the Lord, or the preacher of the gospel, or maybe even the angel of the Lord, sent to tell of the Christ. That's Samuel. And then there's Saul. Saul represents man, the natural man. That's who Saul represents, the natural man. And then there's Jesse. Jesse, being David's father, naturally represents God the Father of Christ the Son. So Jesse is God. David is Christ. Christ, the Son of David. And then the Lord here, who's spoken of, the Lord who said unto Samuel, that's the Holy Spirit who speaks. Okay? Now look at verse 1 again with me. And the Lord said unto Samuel, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now you remember, God put man in the garden, put Adam in the garden to reign, or on this earth to reign and to rule as a king on this earth, right? But he rebelled against God, didn't he? He took a terrible fall. He was once a king, but he took a terrible fall, rebelled against the commands of God, just like Saul did. And God rejected man from being king on this earth. But really, God had a king all along. Man never was the king. Adam never was the king of this earth. Never was. There's one that owned this place, Emmanuel. He was always the king. And it says here, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spake unto this servant of God and said, I've rejected Saul, or man. Now, fill your horn with oil and go. Fill your horn with oil. It takes the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to see who God's king is, doesn't it? It takes the powerful anointing of God's Holy Spirit to give eyes to see Christ, to give ears to hear His voice. And look at what His instructions are to Samuel. Fill your horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse. Send thee to Jesse. Go to Jesse. Now the name Jesse, you know what the name Jesse means? The marvel and the wisdom of God Almighty's Word. I'm telling you, every name, every word, every commandment, every oracle, every jot, every tittle, every period, every crossing of the T means something eternally. Jesse means the existent one. Jesse means being. It comes from the very word Yah, meaning God. I am. It comes from the very word I am. And the Holy Spirit says to the servant of God, go to God. You go to Jesse. He that cometh to God, the Scripture says, must believe that He is. That God is God. And that Christ is God's King. You go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and I'm going to show you my King. If you go to God, you're going to see who God's King is. Right? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And the Holy Spirit turns a man, the natural man, He turns us from our idols to call upon the living God and to see Christ, His anointed one. And I told you last week what Bethlehem means. That means the house of bread. Now from God, from Jesse, from the house of bread, we're going to get the king. The king is going to come down. David, the king. Christ is the bread from heaven who came from heaven itself. And God said, look at it in verse 1. You go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, the house of bread, for I have provided me a king among his sons. I have provided a king. God will provide Himself a lamb, a king. Turn over to Psalm 89 with me. We read this last week. God had a king all along who was ever with Him, who, as Solomon said in Proverbs 8, was ever His delight, who dwelled with Him from time and eternity, who dwelled with Him before time began, God's Son, God's King, God's chosen, God's elect servant in whom His soul delighted, Isaiah said. Look at Psalm 89, verse 19. God spoke in vision to thy Holy One, that's Christ, and said, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I've provided me a king among the sons of Abraham, the sons of Judah more particularly, sons of David even more particularly. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I've found David, my servant. And with my holy oil, my Holy Spirit, have I anointed him. He has the Spirit without measure. And with whom my hand shall be established, my power, my strength, my salvation, the right arm of the Lord shall be established with Christ. Mine arm also shall strengthen him, my Holy Spirit. The enemy shall not exact upon him. He can't find anything in it. Nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I'll beat down his foes before his face. I'll crush the head of the serpent and plague them that hate him. Hey, I'll condemn them, those that don't love Christ. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. The faithfulness, the mercy, the goodness, the salvation of God is where?
It's in Christ.
It's with Him. And in my name shall His strength be exalted. I'll set His hand in the sea, His right hand in the rivers. Christ walked on it. He shall cry unto me, You're my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Oh, He'll be King of kings and Lord of lords. And my mercy will I keep for Him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with Him. Yea, He'll prosper in that thing whereunto I've sent Him. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He'll prosper. My covenant will stand fast, sure, with Him. Look at verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I'll not lie unto David. His seed, these elect people of mine, they'll endure forever. Sound like preservation to me, doesn't it, you? Sound like perseverance of the saints, preservation by the Holy Spirit. And His throne is the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. So that's Jesus Christ. Turn back to Samuel now. That's God's provided king, Jesus Christ. He's God's provision. He's Jehovah Jireh. Do you remember what Abraham said on that mount? Mount Moriah? My son, God will provide. He named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And He said, I provided me a king. Jehovah Jireh. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Jireh. I don't care what the Russellites say. He's Jehovah. He's Jehovah Jireh. That's who He is. He's God's provision for salvation. Look at verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. He'll try to kill me. And they did. And they do now. Man tried to kill all the prophets and tried to kill the Christ. And they did. They killed all the prophets and killed the Christ. And they do try now. They try now. They try to because the natural man, the carnal mind, is enmity against God and against God's people. Christ said, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And that's what Samuel's saying here. They'll kill me if they find out I've come. To anoint another king. Saul will kill me. Don't be afraid of him who killeth the body and hath no more that he can do. Fear me, Samuel. Fear me. Take a heifer with you, though. Take a sacrifice. And go in the name of the Lord. Say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. In the name of the Lord I'm come. Verse 3. And make sure you call Jesse. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon God in the day of trouble, and He'll hear you, and He'll deliver you, and He'll show you what to do. See this? Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and then I'll show you what thou shalt do. The Holy Spirit shows His people what to do. He shows them what to do. He says, I'll show you what to do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs the steps and the paths and the ways in God's providence of all His people, into Christ the way, to anoint Him, to worship Him, to bow before Him. He takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us, right? And you'll anoint Him whom I name unto thee. You see that? The Holy Spirit here in type says, I'll show you what to do, and you'll anoint Him, you'll anoint unto me Him whom I name unto thee. Remember what God said to Moses in Exodus 33:19, He said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'm going to show you my best. And then what did He say? I declare the name of the Lord, didn't He? I'm going to declare a name unto you that's never been told before. Jesus Christ. The Word. I'm going to declare my name unto you. Him whom I name unto thee. I'm going to show you who He is, who my King is. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. Verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town, who highly esteemed and respected God's servant, him who came in the name of the Lord, they respected him. They remembered him who had the rule over them. And they trembled The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and they said, "You coming peaceably? Why is he coming here? Has he got a word of judgment, or has he got a word of peace for him?" Oh, that we would approach the preaching of the gospel in this way. Right? Oh, my. We need both. All scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and so forth. Oh, that we would respect and esteem the preaching of the gospel above all things, and tremble at the word of God. Tremble at the word of God. But this reminds me of the angel of the Lord and the heavenly host appearing to those shepherds on that mountain outside of Bethlehem. You remember that? Don't you know now? Don't you know that these poor little shepherd fellows sitting out there about half asleep, you know, watching their flock, about half asleep, all of a sudden the heaven split and the host of heaven singing and shouting and praising the... Don't you know they were shaking in their boots on their face? What's going on here? What's this all about? Is the end of the world come? Is there going to be peace? And what was the cry? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Peace. Come peaceably. Peace. Hey, the King of Peace is here. Go see. Let's look at verse 5. That's what he said. Peaceably, I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. We got a sacrifice coming. Come see the sacrifice. Oh, little shepherds, come see the sacrifice. He's in a manger. He's in a manger. Come see the sacrifice. And sanctify yourselves. And come with me to the sacrifice. And so he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Ah, boy. Come see the sacrifice. And he said, he sanctified them. That's the holy work of the Holy Spirit in setting apart a people for himself by the call of the gospel and pointing us to Christ, isn't it? Setting apart us by the call of the gospel and bringing us to Christ by faith. Come see the sacrifice. Come see a man. That's what Mary said. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Shepherd, you go see this man. And Samuel said this to the elders there. In verse 6, let's read 6 through 10. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. You remember the story here. How that Jesse paraded his sons before Samuel. And Eliab appeared, and surely Samuel said, "The Lord's anointed is before me." Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Don't look on his outward countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, and God said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." These aren't them. So they looked on many sons of Jesse, many of them. But none were God's king. They were brothers, but they weren't God's king. And all who went before Christ were not the Christ. They asked John the Baptist, didn't they? Art thou the Christ? No. I'm going to prepare the way. All that ever went before Christ, all men were just that, men. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, John the Baptist, sons of God, yes. Brothers to Christ, yes. But they weren't him of whom the prophets gave witness. They weren't him. But all those elders shall serve the younger. Look at verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are these all? Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep." The youngest one is keeping the sheep. Now let's look at this a minute. This is the title of our message, David, His Youth and Anointing. Let's look at the youth of David here. He's just a young man. Many say that he was about 20 years old here. At any rate, he was a very young man. And his occupation was that of shepherd. David was a shepherd, significantly. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34 with me. Ezekiel chapter 34. Jesse said he's the youngest, and he's keeping the sheep. He keepeth the sheep. He's a faithful shepherd over his flock. He's faithful. And David, like another servant of God's, whom God sent to lead His people out of captivity, David was a shepherd. It's like Moses. You remember Moses was kept hidden for a while on the backside of a desert as a shepherd until the Lord revealed him as his captain over the people. Well, David was the shepherd of God's people to be revealed. And Christ the Lord is the shepherd of His people. Christ is the spiritual shepherd of the sheep of God. And look here in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, look at verse 11 with me. Thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day. Now, doesn't that say that the Lord God, G-O-D, is the shepherd of His people? Well, it seems to me that I remember Christ saying somewhere, John 10 to be exact, that He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, wait a minute. There's some confusion here. We got two shepherds. No, we don't. We got one. Look at verse 23. I'll set up one shepherd. See, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. One shepherd. One shepherd. God is a shepherd. He said in verse 15, I'll feed my flock. I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I'm the good shepherd. That's who I am. And Christ said, I am the shepherd. God the Father is a shepherd. God the Son is a shepherd. God the Holy Spirit is a shepherd. These three are one. And they're seen in Christ, the one shepherd. I don't care what the Russellites say. I don't care. I don't care. The Lord God said, I'm the shepherd. And Christ, when He came, who is the Lord God, said, I'm the shepherd. I'm the shepherd. So the Lord God Himself is the shepherd of His sheep. And Christ has always been the eternal and faithful shepherd of the sheep. Like they said about David, he keepeth the sheep. Present tense. He always has, and he is right now keeping the sheep. And always will. David became, did you remember reading that over there in Psalm 78? How that he took it from the flocks to lead a greater flock? Well, Christ has always been the good shepherd. Always has been, always will be, and he is right now. He is right now. The good shepherd. And he keeps the sheep. He's the faithful shepherd. He'll not lose a one. We're going to look into this in a couple of weeks. How that David went out and slew that lion and that bear. He's just a young man. Just a young man. But he went out after one measly little lamb. After a lion. A boy against a lion. A measly little boy. After a lion. But he stepped on the head of that old lion, grabbed him by the beard and cut his head off. For one lamb. Why didn't you just let him go? David is just one insignificant lamb. Oh, no, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the faithful shepherd. I won't lose a one. Not a one. And Christ said, of all that the Father giveth me, I'll lose nothing. I'll lose nothing. I'll leave the 99 in heaven and go after the one lost sheep. And I'll slay that lion. I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? All right. He's keeping the sheep. Do you remember Christ as a young man in the temple? You remember what His reply was to His mother when she came to Him worried? Oh, your mother and your father, don't you know we're worried? He said, wished you not that I must always be about my Father's business? I'm always about my Father's business. Evidently had some sheep he was talking to, leading and guiding in the truth of God. Even as a 12-year-old boy, he was the good shepherd sent to his sheep. And all the prophets, now look back at the text, all the prophets like Samuel, as all of God's servants now, they call upon God for the one thing needful. So here comes Samuel, and he says, "Are these all your boys, Jesse? Is this it?" Remember how all the prophets cried unto God? "Oh, send the Messiah. Is this it? When will you come? When will you send the Holy One of Israel?" And Samuel said unto Jesse, he called unto Jesse and said, "You got a young boy? You got a boy out there keeping the sheep? Would you send and fetch him? Would you fetch him? Would you send him my way? Because we're not going to sit down till he comes." They're not going to sit down till he comes. And to Christ gave all the prophets witness. To God the cry goes out, "Come and help us." And we will not have peace, we will not have rest, we'll not be partakers of God's blessings, we'll not be seated with the Father in the heavenlies, till Christ come hither, till he comes down. As a man, he comes from the grave and go to the Father and become our mediator, our advocate, our king. We're not going to sit with the Father. We're not going to walk with God. We're not going to be in God's presence till he come hither. Till Christ appear to us personally. Right? Right. Verse 12. So he sent. Now look at this. This gets good. So Jesse gave commandment. God gave commandment. He sent and
brought him in.
They waited a while, patiently, standing around. What's he going to be like? Can't wait to see him. I bet you Samuel was thinking, this must be him. And old Jesse sent word, and they brought him in. And they brought him in. And it says here, now,
he was ruddy.
Ruddy. That word ruddy means red. It means red. Here came in this young 20-year-old red-faced young man. A red face, that indicates to me he was a hard-working young man. He didn't tarry. He didn't dilly-dally around. He set his face to go home when he heard the instructions from his father. And he ran. According to the commandment, he ran. He got flush-faced, red-faced, and he ran. That's his liveliness. That's the blood flowing through his veins. That's his humility. You know how people flush when they are humble and meek and lowly? That's his humility. And it says here that he was withal of a beautiful countenance. Now, you have a margin. Does it say in your margin there about a beautiful countenance? It says fair of eyes. You say that? That's the proper rendition of this. He was fair of eyes. That is, his eyes were clear. They were keen. They were watchful. They were sharp. But yet they were tender. They were tender. He had a pleasant look out of his eyes. Pleasant look out of his eyes. There's one thing that you cannot hide. Is look out of your eyes, can you? Look somebody in the eye. I know that old saying, "Eyes are the window of the soul." That's not in Scripture. Don't say the Bible says that. It doesn't say that. Well, it's a pretty good statement anyway. You can see things in people's eyes, can't you? Well, David came in there and he had good eyes. Not only good eyesight, but he had a good pair of eyes. Good pair of eyes. One of the most beautiful and endearing traits of all is a pair of beautiful eyes. And especially a kind look out of the eyes. Right? You know people like that. You know people have good eyes to look at. I'll give you an example. I can sit and look at my daughter's eyes for hours on end. I can. You can too. You're the little children. Why? Because a little child's eyes, their eyes are very clear. Have you ever noticed, have you ever looked real carefully at the whites of the eyes of your children? There's no white. They're washed with milk. Right? Clear. Clean. Their eyes aren't bloodshot with the smoke and the vanity of this world yet. They're clear and they're clean. They're tender. Children's eyes are sensitive, aren't they? They're revealing. A child can't hide a thing from their eyes. You can spot guilt or whatever, or sadness in a child's eyes. In a second, can't you? They're very revealing. Very revealing. And they're, in a sense, they're somewhat innocent looking. I like looking at little children's eyes. I like looking at. Well, God Almighty sent His Son down here. He brought Him in. Brought Him in. Brought forth His only begotten Son into this world.
He was ruddy.
He was red. Do you know what the word ruddy means? The very root word of the word ruddy means, did you say it, Vicky?
Adam.
That's what the word ruddy means. That's the original Hebrew word.
Adam.
Now the first Adam was of the earth, earthy. But there came a second one in, right? The second Adam is the Lord from glory. He came in. Ruddy, the Lord of glory. Came in, and he was red. Who is this that cometh from Edom, from Adam, with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Well, why are you red in your apparel? You're ruddy. And your garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Because I've treaded the wine press of God alone. My garments are red with my own blood. He's bloody. He's bloody. And look at what Samuel says after they bring him in. He says he's goodly to look to. Goodly to look to. Old David was a good-looking boy. And Samuel said, the Lord said unto Samuel, arise, anoint him. This is he. This is he. And the Holy Spirit says unto us when we take a look at that bloody man on Calvary's tree, he says, arise, anoint him, worship him. This is he. This is the Lord your Savior, the Son of David, Jesus the Christ. And what about his eyes? You remember our study in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5? Anybody? What about his eyes? Well, it says his eyes are as the eyes of doves, full of love, faithfulness. Doves are faithful. You and I are talking about this. You know, a dove, when it loses its mate, it'll never get another. That's the reason they call them mourning doves. Never get another one. They're true and faithful to one mate. Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Got the eyes of doves, faithfulness, tender, merciful. By rivers of waters, the Scripture said. Eyes of dove by rivers of water. He wept over his people. Rivers. Full of feeling. His eyes were full of feeling. Compassion and tenderness. Said, washed with milk. That's the holiness of Christ in his eyes. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, without guile. Not a look of guile out of his eyes. Never. Never. Sometimes people can't look in the eye, you know. Why? They're hiding something. Never, not him. No guile in him. No guile. Without hypocrisy. It says his eyes were fitly set. Fitly set. Keen, clear, regal looking. All seeing. His all seeing, omniscient eyes. And he's goodly to look to. Christ is goodly to look to. I tell you what. He's so goodly to look at. There's life for a look at this man. There's salvation in a look at this man. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God. I'm God. There's none else.
Look to me. I'm God your Savior. Arise. The song says, I will arise and go to the Savior. I will arise and go to the Savior. Anoint him. Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your own hearts. Sanctify. Anoint him. This is he. This is he. This is he of whom the prophets spoke. This is he of whom Moses wrote. This is he of whom Abraham rejoiced to see his day. This is the Son of David. This is Christ. Arise. Anoint him. Worship him. This is he. This is the King. Look at John 1. So Samuel took the horn of oil. Verse 13 says, he anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know that David, this is interesting here. It's marvelous. David was anointed three times. Three times he was anointed. Once by Samuel, this first time as a young man, he was anointed. The second time he was anointed by the men of Judah, the tribe of Judah. He was anointed when Saul died. The men of Judah, they recognized him as their king. Not all of Israel had yet. He was still in disarray. But the men of Judah did. The elect tribe did. They knew who he was, and they anointed him the second time. They came to his house, and they anointed, you're our king. Be thou king over us, David. All right. And then the third time, when he came to Jerusalem, and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, all Israel anointed him then. This is it. And all of Israel, collectively, all the people bowed down, and they anointed him. Hail to the king. Three times. Christ was anointed three times. First at his birth, the Holy Spirit came and anointed. Not only announced, but anointed. How did the Holy Spirit anoint Christ? He took a seed and anointed the womb with that virgin woman. He anointed this earth with his son and said from heaven, this is he. This is he. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sin. And secondly, he was anointed right here at his baptism when the Holy Spirit descended. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man whom is preferred before me. He was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, king of Israel. Therefore I'm come baptizing with water. And John bore record saying, I saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and anointing him. It abode upon him. Abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, that is God, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. You remember back there in verse 13? Where it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and stayed with him from that day forward. I like this. I don't know if anybody else does. The Spirit of God remained on him. The same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, the Son of David, Jesus the Christ. Three times he was anointed. And the third time, Christ is going to be anointed when he sits on his holy throne. And God the Father says, this is he. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess at the anointing, at the setting up of God's King. This is he. I told you from the beginning. This is he. All the prophets gave witness. God the Holy Spirit gave witness. The works of Christ gave witness. Everything gave witness. Three times to who this was. This is he, the Son of David. And he's seated on his throne forever. And he has a spirit without measure. Oh boy. Well, next week, we're going to look at the rest of this. And if you'll go home and read this week, whether or not I have liberty to preach it or whether you have liberty to hear it, that doesn't matter. But if you'll go home, God will bless his word. If you'll go home and read this passage carefully for yourself, it'll shout at you of who Christ is. Next week, we're going to look at the sweet psalmist of Israel. Christ is the sweet psalmist of Israel. It wasn't David.
David didn't write the song.
Asaph didn't write the song. Christ wrote the song. We're going to see that. You go over to 2 Samuel 23 and you'll see that. But if you'll read, starting in verse 14 during this week, you'll see how that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel who soothed the troubled soul of that man named Saul. Soothed his troubled soul. Well, an evil spirit troubling him. And Christ is the only one to speak peace to a man's heart and conscience. Okay, stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer. Our Lord, we marvel at your holy word. It's so miraculous, so mysterious, so wonderful. Every word in it is just significant and has eternal wisdom and glory in it. God, if only we had eyes and a heart to see it and receive it. Lord God, anoint us. Anoint our dull and dead and cold and lifeless selves. Anoint it, Lord. That holy anointing oil. We don't deserve it, but we sure would like to have it. Take the word that's been spoken, your word, not my word, but your word, and a little morsel of it. Take a little morsel of it, even if it be these three words. This is He. And cause our faith in the Christ to be strengthened and magnified. In His name we pray, until we meet again. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.